All right, everybody take your Bibles and turn to James. James chapter 1. And we want to talk tonight about how to practice the Bible. So look in James chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I'm going to give you four things in practicing the Scripture. The first three have to do with our willingness to be taught the Scripture, our attitude towards the Scripture. You know, if a person is in a class in college and it's their last class, and if they don't make a 90 on it, they flunk and can't get their degree. That's one person. And the other person is just doing it for the fun of it, doesn't really, not interested in it, just doing it for the fun of the class, not getting a degree or anything. Well, the first person is going to pay attention much more closely to what's going on in the class, because they're eager to learn and pass the class. The other one may not be, because they're not enrolled and doesn't make any difference. So the first three we're going to give you have to do with our willingness, our desire to want to be taught the Word of God. The first truth is we are to listen, not lash out. Notice what he says, verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now, that can be applied to personal relationships. It's better to listen than to run my mouth off and then be angry when I do. But I think he's in the context of applying the Scripture. And so the first thing he says is to be quick to hear, you know, to be aware and to be sensitive. I want to know what God says and what God wants me to do and how God wants me to live, rather than I'm quick to speak. MacArthur says this has to do with speaking the Word of God and all that, but I think there's also something else in it, that we are so often, when we face circumstances and situations and problems, we're so apt to be quick to slash out, to speak, and then be slow to wrath. We're so apt to be quick to get angry at a circumstance or a situation or a problem, rather than, okay, I need to listen and be interested in how does God want me to handle this situation? How does God want me to handle this person? How does God want me to act in this situation? Rather than to just be quick to just spout off and then to get angry about things. That's often what we do, rather than say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Anger, notice what he says, verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." It never achieves what God wants. And there are probably two or three things. One, anger blinds us. When I'm angry, all I see is what I'm angry at, not interested in what God wants me to do. You know, when I'm angry at a circumstance, situation, whatever, I'm more interested in what I'm angry about, and I'm blinded, rather than my heart being quick to hear, Lord, what do you want me to do? Rather than I'm just lashing out in anger. So it blinds us. Secondly, anger binds us. Anger gets a root in our lives, and when I'm angry, that's it. You know, forget what God said. I don't care what God said at that point. When you're angry, you don't care what God said. You're not very quick to hear what God says. You're very quick to lash out and say what you want to say. And so anger binds us. And also, if you study Proverbs, anger makes us act foolish. Whereas being quick to hear and being quick to listen and want to know in each and every situation what God wants me to do, I'm more apt to then be more Christ-like in what I do rather than to just simply spout off and say. And so that's what it says. Be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, because anger never does achieve what God intends. So the first thing is, in life, we ought to be listening. Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, I could get mad here and just chew everybody out. I could do all this stuff, but what do you want me to do? What is the Christ-like, and what is the scripture to you? So I'm sensitive to want to hear what God said. Second thing in verse 21, we are to lay aside. And the King James uses some strange words. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And naughtiness sounds like, oh, you're being naughty. But the two words just simply mean sinfulness. Filthiness has to do with sinfulness and in a more specific term, and the other one has to do with just sinfulness in a general term. The willingness to lay aside some sins. The willingness to lay aside some things so I can hear what God has to say. One, when I'm angry, I'm not interested in doing what God wants me to do. And number two, when I'm sinning, I'm not interested in what God wants me to do. Both kind of plug up my ability to discern and to know what I'm supposed to be doing and what God wants me to do. So he says to lay apart these. And then he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word means to be planted. With meekness means with humility, with a willingness. You know, Lord, rather than get angry here, rather than hold on to my sins, I'm willing. Whatever your word says, I want to receive it. I'm willing to submit myself to you. I'm willingness to do whatever it says. If it says forgive, if it says love, whatever it says, I want to receive it, and I want to do what you say. I want to be obedient to what you want me to do. And so we receive with meekness the word which is able to save your souls. And the Bible, he just said in verse 18, we were born again by the word of truth. The Bible is the instrument that leads us unto salvation, and the Bible that leads us to be sanctified. The Bible is the work of God. The Bible is very important. What the Bible teaches and what God says is very important. So I must be willing to lay aside some of my sins. And 1 Peter says this, to lay aside certain sins and desire the sincere milk of the word. It lists some of bitterness and anger and clamor. And as long as those in the heart, I ain't interested in what God's got to say. If I'm mad at somebody, I'm not interested in what God say. Well, you know, the Bible says, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm more interested in what I'm upset about, what I want to talk about, and what I want to lash out about. I'm more interested in that. I'm more interested in my sin. I'm not interested in humbly receiving what God wants me to do and how God wants me to act. So we must be first willing to listen and not so quick to just react. And secondly, we must be willing to lay aside sin and accept whatever God has to say. If someone has harmed me, someone has hurt me, hurt my feelings, I might not be, on the moment, interested in loving my enemies. That's not what I might be interested in doing that moment. But there's a humility that says, okay, I'm willing to do what your word says. Thirdly, he says in verse 22, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Notice there are two things. He illustrates it with looking in a mirror. And I say the third thing is we look to God's word because we want to be changed. We want to be made different. And so if not, we deceive ourselves. If there are two ideas in looking to a glass, I think. One is when I walk up to the mirror in the morning, I'm looking to want to, you know, get the hair right and get everything right. But if I go and just look in the mirror and go, boy, my hair's a mess. My goodness, I didn't realize I left some of that food I ate last night in my beard. Oh, I got, my goodness, I can't believe I got banana pudding stuck all in my beard here. And then I just walk away and, oh, well, I forgot it and just going about my business. Well, there's something wrong. I'm not interested really in changing myself. I'm just interested in looking. Say, oh, well, there you go. And a lot of people are not interested in changing. You know that? We've talked about a lot of people want to hear something that makes them feel good. I think we Christians get in a routine. I just want to hear something that makes me feel good, makes me enjoyable. I'm not really interested in changing. Now, I love it when you get on everybody else. Boy, let everybody else have it. That's really good. I like that. But I'm not interested that much in changing. So the first thing is, the illustration is, why would a man look in the mirror and not be interested in changing? He walks away and forgets. Why did he forget? Because he wasn't interested. And notice back in verse 22, if you're just a hearer, you deceive your own self. Just like when a person doesn't deal with temptation, he said in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. When we blame other people for our reactions and sinfulness, we have deceived ourselves. And when we just listen to the Bible and not interested in changing, we've deceived ourselves. We think, boy, that made me feel so good. And then we walk out and we're not one bit interested in changing. We have looked in the mirror. The second thing that I think it says, notice in verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I think the second illustration is that the Bible is like a mirror. It shows me for what I really am. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 that it's like a two-edged sword. It cuts down into heart, and it divides and even gets down to my thoughts and motives. You ever had the Bible speak to you and point out some things in your heart? You ever had the Bible convict you of something? That's what it does. It convicts you of something, and it's like it shows you what you really are. Well, boy, I do have bitterness in my heart. Oh, I am worried about this situation. Oh, I am unloving and kind. Oh, yeah, I talk too much. And on and on and on you go. The Bible shows you what you really are. And so we got to be willing to look so the Word of God can change us. And so the man that just looks but is not interested in changing is simply a hearer. That's a good message, preacher. I ain't going to do nothing about it. That was a good message, you know. I enjoyed it. But I'm not going to change any. You know, I don't why are you talking to us? Because I don't need change. And so we're just a hearer. We looked at ourselves and we looked in the mirror and go, not interested. Now, I want you to notice a very interesting thing. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The third thing is, the Bible is like a mirror that shows us what we are. And we don't just look in the mirror to see what we are and then don't plan to change it. We're not just hearers. But when we go to look, and the word in verse 25, whosoever looketh, is a different word in verse 24, for he beholdeth himself. The word beholdeth just means he observed himself. But to look into is a different word. It is the same, comes from the same word in which Jesus knelt down on the ground and he stooped down to write on the ground when they brought the woman caught in sin. And so the idea of the word is that I don't just stop, but I look deeper. And what he means, I look deeper into the scripture. I don't look deeper into me. You know, the Bible says, oh boy, I've got bitterness in my heart. Well, I don't sit around and go, boy, I got bitterness in my heart, and oh, woe is me, or all of this, or boy, I'm just a worrywart, or all this and all that. He didn't say you look deeper in yourself. He says you look closer into the scripture. You look closer into the scripture, not at yourself. The Bible's point is to convict and says you must be changed, but we're not changed because we sit around thinking about how angry we are. We're changed because we do a little more digging, and he says that the perfect law of liberty, when he's talking about the scripture, and we continue therein. Did you know that sin, people don't understand sin. They don't understand sin. They think of sin as doing bad stuff. They don't understand sin. Sin is something that makes us slaves to something. And it grabs a hold of us. And if left unchecked, it's like Cain. God told him, sin is getting ready to crouch on you like an animal, and you must deal with it. Well, Cain didn't, and it got worse. People don't realize that they don't live in a vacuum. It's, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Sin, when yielded to, tends to enslave us more. It tends to bind us more. You say, oh, I don't think so. All right, let's go out and find out. Let's talk to a few bitter people. I know a few bitter people. I knew a few folks that will never forgive as long as they live. They'll never have anything to do with so-and-so. Or they may say, oh, I still love them, but they won't forgive. And what they don't realize is sin has this tendency to just strangle us, to enslave us, to destroy us. But notice what he calls the scripture, the perfect law of liberty. That it is not freeing to walk in selfishness. It is not freeing to walk in lust. It's not freeing to walk in envy. It's not freeing to walk in jealousy. It's not freeing to walk in bitterness. It's not freeing to walk in fear. It's not freeing to walk in all the things that sin does. It binds me. Now, I may feel pretty good for a while because I've just won the lottery. You know, oh, well, hallelujah, my life's pretty good. But that's still not going to solve the sin problem. Or I might feel pretty good because my circumstances are good. And as far as I know, nobody don't hate me. And of course, the one that does hate me and the one don't like me, I don't have nothing to do with them anymore. I won't talk to them anymore. But sin has this binding. But scripture is a freeing liberty thing. It makes us liberated. And so what we're to do is we're to look not at our condition, but we're to look closer at God's commands. Now, I wish I could really get this across. Let's say that I'm worrying. Oh, God, please, help me not to worry. Well, that's a good prayer to pray, but that ain't going to solve your worry. It ain't going to solve it. But let's suppose I study the teaching of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7, and I study, or Matthew chapter 6, and I study what God says about worry. Well, sure, God says, stop worrying, but then he gives me some encouragement. One of them he gives me is don't worry, because God cares deeply for me. I mean, look at the birds. They're well fed, and yet God takes care of them. Aren't we much more valuable? So the first thing he says is to not, he doesn't say, okay, you know, think about worrying, please help me. No, he says, take a positive step. In other words, God's commands are always designed to take us in a positive direction. Remember, God
cares for me. Seek ye first His kingdom. Make the priorities of my life Christ-centered and for God, and then He'll take care of the rest of it. Then He says, only take care of the troubles today. Now, I'll tell you what. Rather than sit around and go, oh boy, I'm worried. And I'm not saying it's easy. But if you take the positive steps to say, notice, He studies closer. He looks closer into the perfect law of liberty. What does God really say? And then I continue therein, in that. I practice that. There will be freedom in the heart. I will be freed from worry. Paul says the same thing in Philippians 4. He says, I've learned how to be content in every circumstance. Well, how do you get to be content? Well, the first thing he says, well, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, okay. That's a positive command. In other words, sin wants to bind me and take me this way and make me discontented and all that. But in order to practice God's liberty, I then walk in rejoicing. Hallelujah, Lord, You're good. And I rejoice in the Lord, and I rejoice in the Lord always. And know what happens? The law of liberty works, and it begins to free me. What about someone who I hate? There are principles in Scripture, and they do tell us to stop, but then they always, I can take you to just Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. Do you know that most of the New Testament are scriptural commands for you to quit walking this way and walk this way in obedience to God? I just gave you one on Sunday morning on how to deal with trial. Every step that we gave you was a positive direction to grab a hold of, and I will walk this way. That's the secret. Notice. Whoso looketh into, that is, I look closer into the perfect law of liberty, and I continue therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, I shall be blessed in my deed. There's something freeing about the Scripture. There's something freeing about being able to love your enemy. Remember me telling you Sunday morning or night, whichever it was, Sunday night, about when I first preached and the lady smarted off at me? I was bound up with my sin. And I struggled. But that night, when it came time to preach, you know, I told you I wouldn't preach hellfire and brimstone to her. But I said, Lord, I'm going to preach love. Because if for in order for me to love this woman and forgive her, I'm going to have to stay away from anything I'd like to tell her. And I'm just going to preach well, how much God loves her and how much God cares. And you know, as I preached, my own heart melted and her heart melted. Not because of anything other than the Word of God is freeing. When we choose to walk in the teaching of the Scripture, it is the perfect law of liberty. So when I discover something about myself, when I see what kind of person I am, I don't sit around and moan and groan and oh, well, I do that. I'm not supposed to do that too long, but moan and groan, but then find the Scriptures. Now I take you, folks, verse after verse after verse, if you will pay attention, just about every single verse says, do this, walk this way, do this. God's commands are like a way to grab a hold of you and to give you a positive direction to walk in. And that's what I think he means, looking into the perfect law of liberty and continue within. I must be willing to hear what God has to say, but I also must be willing to learn his principles and then walk in them. And they are freeing. If you've ever practiced one, they are freeing. It is freeing to be a love someone who hates you. It is freeing to leave it with the Lord. It is freeing to be kind and gracious. It is freeing to walk in God's truth. And so the secret is to get down deeper and say, okay, Lord, What do you mean here? Go back to chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse, and he means trials. Do you know that's a command for you to do? That isn't just telling you some nice and warm fuzzy. That means, just like I said Sunday morning, you're to count this experience as positive. Why? Verse 3, you know something, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then notice what he said, but let patience have her perfect work. That's your responsibility. And word patience means persevere. So that means you're to persevere in whatever is the right thing to do. If any of you lack wisdom, what do? You ask of God. You ask of God. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. That's a command. The person whose life has found themselves in poverty or low degree or whatever, they're to rejoice in the fact they still have the Lord. And I'm taking you through scripture after scripture after scripture. Verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Don't say that. Don't blame God. Don't blame anything else. And on and on and on he goes telling us. Our very scripture tonight, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Every one of that's a command. Calm it down. Listen. And keep your mouth. Wished I could learn that. That's why God gave us one mouth and two ears. He wants us to listen more and speak less. And some of us, like myself, who like to speak, we might say something. All of that is a command. And what you've got to do is to look closer and find principles that say, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk this way. I'm going to work on being slow. Next time they run out in front of me in traffic, I'm going to work on being quiet about it. Not getting angry about it. In other words, I'm going to try to do what your word said. I'm going to walk in a positive direction. Can I tell you something? I think there's a reason people are listening to the Houston man, Osteen. They want to hear something positive. What they think is positive is God's going to bless me, God's going to bless me, God's going to bless me, God's going to bless me. But what they really deep down inside want to hear the positive direction. They don't know this because they're sinful and they've been deceived by the world. But they want to hear the positive direction that living for Christ is. Now they don't know this. But I think deep down inside they've been deceived. Christianity and obedience always is in a positive direction. Christ-likeness is always in a positive direction. Love, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and good. All of those are truths in a positive direction. If Jesus Christ were to walk in here tonight, you know what he'd do? He'd walk in a positive direction, being totally perfect in fulfilling the commands of Scripture. Don't get sidetracked on the sin. Find out what the Scripture teaches and walk in it. And it is free. It is absolutely free. And when I'm bound, it's because I don't walk the way God wants me to. Let's pray. Father, we ask you tonight, Lord, to teach us how we may practice your word and put it into practice and walk with you. We first must be willing to be taught and accept responsibility and let it speak to us. But we must then be willing to study and find a positive direction that goes against the sin we are prone to. And we must find a way to walk in that perfect law of liberty. Lord, a life filled with loving people is a much happier and freeing life than a life sitting around thinking about myself all the time. A life filled with trusting you and rejoicing in you is a lot more fun than sitting around thinking about all my problems. There is a freedom in obedience to your word. And may we not be tricked by the devil. The scripture always presents a positive direction, and help us to obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.